Will you please turn to 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read from verse 8 through verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Exercise thyself unto godliness. For bodily exercise is profitable for a little, but godliness is profitable for everything, having promise of life, of the present one, and of that to come. The word is faithful and worthy of all acceptation. For this we labor and suffer reproach, because we hope in a living God, who is the preserver of all men, especially of those that believe. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now the God of peace himself sanctify your holy and your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful who calls you. He will also perform it. And finally, the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we'll read from verse 34 through verse 39. Matthew 10:34. Do not think that I have come to send peace upon the earth. I have not come to send peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man at variance with his father, and a daughter with her mother, and a daughter-in-law with her mother-in-law, and they of his household shall be a man's enemies. He who loves father or mother above me is not worthy of me. And he loves son or daughter above me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life, that is soul life, shall lose it. And he who has lost his life, his soul life, for my sake, shall find it. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we continue to gather in thy presence, our hearts do bow low before thee, acknowledging thee. Thou art our Lord, our Sovereign, our King. Dear Lord, we do praise and thank Thee for the tremendous love that Thou hast loved us. We thank Thee for saving us. We believe that Thou hast a glorious purpose in saving us. And we do pray, Lord, that thou will open our understanding, that we may know what thy purpose is and what thou art doing even this day in our lives, that we may submit ourselves to thee in such a way that we will not in any way hinder thy gracious working in our lives, but instead thou wilt have a free way with us and bring us to where thou wantest to be, to the praise of thy glory. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Some time ago, we shared on this matter of spiritual exercise. I do not know if you're still in the gymnasium of Christ, whether after you have heard about spiritual exercise, that you are really in exercise in your spirit. That is to say that the conscience within you is working. It is clean, it is clear, it is alert. And the intuition in your life is working. You are able to receive revelation, light, from God and from His Word. And your communion is deepening. Your life with the Lord, daily life with the Lord, is increasing. Now, if we do exercise our spirit, as it is led by the Holy Spirit, that shall be and should be the case. So I hope that, brothers and sisters, the only way to make progress in our spiritual life is through spiritual exercise. If we do not do that, we may be able to accumulate lots of biblical knowledge, but it does us no good. There is no growth in spiritual life unless we exercise our spirit under the management of the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning we would like to go a step further. Spiritual exercise not only profits our spirit. The Bible said, exercise unto godliness is profitable of everything, of all things. It has the promise of life, eternal life, not only of this age, but also of the age to come. So we know this matter of spiritual exercise is profitable for everything. Not only it will increase our spiritual life, but it will also touch our whole being. Now, I believe we all know that we, as God made us, we are made with a spirit, a soul, and a body. So we find that spiritual exercise will not only purify, sanctify our spirit, but it will also touch our soul and our body. And God willing, during this month, we will center our fellowship on how spiritual exercise affects our soul. I hope we all know that when God created man, as we find in Genesis chapter 2, God took the red earth and formed our body. Then He breathed into the nostrils of that body. And the Bible said, man became a living soul. So in other words, you will find that even though In God's creation, man is a tripartite. It has a spirit. God consciousness is as a soul, self-consciousness, and is a body, world consciousness. Even though, according to God's divine order, the spirit should take the first place, because by the spirit we are in touch with God the spirit. The soul is the center of our being. Or to put it another way, this is where personality dwells. It is I. It is me. And the body is to be in touch with the world around us. So the soul is very center of our being. We are living souls. So the body sometimes, the Bible sometimes, use souls and man interchangeably. Like the Bible says, 70 souls went down to Egypt. It means that 70 persons, men of Jacob, they went down to Egypt. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are living souls. God created us with a soul. But soul itself is invisible because it is not a matter, not material. So how do we know we have a soul? Well, we know we have a soul by its functions, by the faculties. Because according to the Word of God, the soul has three main faculties, functions. One is emotion, feeling. One is mind, thinking. And one is will, volition. By these three functions, we express ourselves. Now this morning, we would like to center upon emotion. How spiritual exercise will purify our emotion. First of all, let us remember that emotion or feeling is a gift of God. Think if you have no emotion, you have no feeling of any kind, what kind of life will you live? Emotion is the spice of life. But sadly, it can also be the bitterness of life. God created us with emotion, with feeling. We feel good, we feel bad, we like this, we don't like that. We have laugh, we also have anger. We are emotional beings. Every one of us. And maybe some people are more emotional than other people. That's true. But we all have emotions. And we thank God for that. But we discover that in our emotion, there is something wrong there. You know, when we are saved, what happened to us? We were once dead in sins and transgressions. We had no hope of any kind. We are heading towards eternal death. But thank God, He saves us. And what do you mean by being saved? It means you that your dead spirit is quickened into new life. Christ came into your life. And He became the life of your new spirit. Then the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in your new spirit. And when all these are happening to you, you are saved. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are born of the Holy Spirit. You have a new spirit now. And you're able to communicate with God. And the life of your spirit is Christ. He becomes your life. And Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Holy Spirit dwells in your spirit to see to it that this new life of Christ in you may grow into maturity, that you may be conformed to the image Now, that is what happened when you are saved. But how about your soul and your body? Was your soul saved at the time you were born again? Was your spirit redeemed at the time that you were born again? In one sense, you do experience something happening in your soul and your body during the time you are saved. For instance, the Bible says, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus. In other words, if you do not repent, you will never believe in the Lord Jesus. Now, what is repentance? Repentance is a change of mind. Now, a change of mind happened in your soul. The Holy Spirit will work upon you and bring you to a sense of sinfulness. Formerly, you thought you were perfect. Or if not, almost perfect. Better than anybody else. But when the Holy Spirit touches your conscience, He brings you into a deep conviction. And you will sense such a burden of sin upon you. You repent. And you turn to the Lord Jesus. His blood cleanses your conscience. You are saved. So in other words, when we were saved, our soul was being touched. There was a change. But remember, it is only a superficial change. Basically, your soul remains the same. By that I mean the one who dwells in your soul, your life in your soul, is still your natural, old, Adamic life, yourself. Christ dwells in your spirit. He is the life of your spirit. But self is still the life of your soul. He is still using your soul to express himself instead of Christ. So that's the reason why after you're saved, you begin to discover there are two persons dwelling within you. Deep within in your spirit, Christ is there. And he is talking to you. He is telling you what is right, what is wrong. What is good, what is evil. He is trying to lead you into a life of holiness and of victory. But then you discover in your soul, there is still yourself there. You have your idea. You have your way. You have your opinion. And you seem to have a civil war going on in your life. It is the conflict of the life of Christ and the self-life, flesh. It is a conflict between the Holy Spirit and your soul, your flesh. I believe we all, if we are really saved, we all have gone through these things. Now, how about your body? They often say that before you were saved, you have a long face. But after you're saved, your face began to be rounded. Now, isn't that wonderful? But does your body transform from mortal body to immortal body? No. You still have a mortal body. It hasn't changed, basically. It needs to be redeemed. So when you are saved, your spirit is saved. A new spirit. But your soul and your body remained the same, the old same thing. But thank God, his salvation is full salvation. He will not leave your body and soul without saving them. He wants to save your whole being. So that is what you find in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. We were delivered from so great a death, and we are being delivered, and we shall be delivered. In other words, deliverance is threefold. In the past, we were delivered from the great death. That is, our spirit was saved. We are being delivered. That is our daily experience after we are saved. This is the salvation of our soul. And we will yet be delivered. That is the redemption of our body. When this physical body will be changed into a spiritual body at the coming of the Lord. So you find that God's salvation is full salvation. And you also find this thought in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. May the God of peace sanctify your holy. Now, what do you mean by holy? Your spirit and soul and body. Be preserved, blameless, at the coming of the Lord. So, dear brothers and sisters, remember, our soul needs to be saved. And the saving of our soul is today. As long as we live after we are saved, the process of the salvation of the soul is going on daily until we go to see our Lord Jesus. So this is a present salvation, which is most important. And this is the reason why the Bible tells us there is such a thing as the salvation of souls. You'll find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Now in the salvation of the soul, we will focus upon the first thing, emotion. Why? Because emotion is the most apparent, most active, most influential of all the faculties of your soul. In a sense, emotion is the manifestation, the clearest manifestation, the frequent manifestation of the self life in your soul. It reveals you. It expresses you. It tells you who you are. I feel that emotion is a wonderful thing. It is the gift of God. How can we live if we don't have emotion? But unfortunately, there is something wrong in our soul. That is to say, the one who uses our emotion is our old self, the fallen man. And as long as our emotion is used, controlled by our old self, what is expressed through our emotion will be ourselves, our old selves, not the life of Christ, not the beauty of Christ. So I would say, the matter, the problem is not in emotion. The problem is who controls, who uses our emotion. Who is expressed through our emotion? Does it express Christ? Or does it express me, my old self? That's the reason why emotion needs to be saved. Do you ever think that your emotion needs to be purified? Has the Holy Spirit ever convicted you that what is expressed by your emotion is not Christ? It is still your old self. And if it's still your old self, how can it be delivered? When you read Romans chapter 1, it tells us how we have fallen, we have sinned. There is a whole list of sins that we have committed. And when you come to verse 31, the last of it, what is it? Without natural affection. Unmerciful. In other words, there's something wrong with emotion. Without natural affection. Unmerciful. Now the word natural affection here really refers to the affection that God has given to us. But unfortunately, what we call natural affection today is unnatural. Why? Because it is no longer controlled by God, it is controlled by me. And if you read Ephesians chapter 4, it begins with how the nations walk. And then you come void of all feelings. Do not care. So we do find, not only in the scripture, that there is something wrong with our emotion. But I believe that even we ourselves have experienced the same thing. We find that what we should love, we do not. What we should hate, we love. What we should like, we don't like. We do not like the will of God, but we like the world. The way we express our emotion, even though we are saved, is not pure. We struggle over it. How can our emotion be saved? Can we save our soul by soul exercise? That is exercising our soul. Can we do that? Once a brother told me he had a weak will. And he asked me, how can he strengthen his will? I say, the more you try to strengthen it, the worse the will will be. The salvation is not in your exercising your will by yourself. The secret is exercising your spirit. As your spirit gets stronger, your will be overcome by the life of Christ. So, dear brothers and sisters, the way of deliverance is not in soul exercise, mental exercise. The more you exercise your soul, the bigger your soul will be. It will be a monster. Beyond your control. The only way that we can be delivered in our soul is through Jesus Christ. You remember Romans chapter 7? How this man struggles over this matter of the soul and the spirit? What he wants to do, he cannot. What he does not want to do, he does it. He even says, it is not I. It is a sin that dwells in me. Now, who can deliver me from this body of death? Not yourself. Thank God through Jesus Christ. The more you try to save yourself, the lower you sink. But when you give up and give to Christ Jesus, He's able to save you to the uttermost. So, dear brothers and sisters, the saving of soul is in the same way. It is not by your own effort. It is by the grace of God. We may be able to suppress our emotion, hold back. It's still bubbling within us, but outwardly we are calm. But for how long? It will explode someday. We may be able to hide our thinking and act differently. But that makes us a hypocrite. We may be able to try. To hide our will. But it's there. It never changes. The salvation of our soul is through spiritual exercise. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us wherein is our emotion wrong. The Holy Spirit will arrange our circumstances to bring us to a point that you have to choose before Christ and yourself. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. So, that is what you find in Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus said, "Do not think I have come to bring peace upon the earth." Now it sounds like very, very contradictory. Peace on earth and glory to God. He is the Prince of Peace. But our Lord Jesus himself said, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace, to send peace into the world." Because the world is so upside down, for it to enjoy peace, they need to have the sword first to clear the way of peace. So he said, "I have not come to send peace, but a sword." And he said, "If any man who loves his father or mother more than me cannot be my disciple. If any man loves his daughter or son more than me cannot be my disciple. He who does not his cross and follow me cannot be. He's not worthy of me. He that saves his soul life shall lose it, and he who loses it shall save it." Now, what does all this mean? Thank God. He knows where we fail. He has made every provision for us to deliver us. So you find that after we are saved, you begin to experience I believe every one of us does. We begin to experience some kind of a conflict, a battle in our emotion. We are being challenged, not by man, but by God. God will raise up some circumstances in our life the demand of man, the ones that we love most, naturally. Conflicts with the demand of God. And when such things happen in our life, we struggle. Whether we will be able to let our soul life die and let Christ's life be in ascendancy. We will obey God rather than ourselves. And if we deny ourselves, it's painful. We want to satisfy ourselves. We want to gratify ourselves. But whenever ourselves is being challenged, our feeling, our emotion is being challenged. Whether you love God or love yourself, where does your love come from? Is it pure? Then we are in trouble. I believe we all have such conflict in our lives. Now, if we obey ourselves, we disobey God. If we obey God, we put our self-life to death. Painful. But that is the way of salvation. Think of our Lord Jesus. He is the most compassionate person in the whole world. How he looked at the multitudes and he had compassion over them. Not only over their soul, but also over their body. But as you read the Gospels, sometimes he seemed to act cruelly, harshly. Once while he was speaking, and a great crowd was with him, I think it's in Matthew chapter 15, his mother and his brothers were outside. They wanted to speak to him. What did our Lord Jesus do? He looked around the crowd around him and said, "Who is my mother? My brother and sister? He who does the will of God. He is my mother, my brother, my sister." Isn't that cruel? He has a soul, sinless soul. He has emotion. He wept. But his emotion, his feeling is pure, not controlled by his own soul. It's controlled by God's will. Does that make him hard? No. Even when he was on the cross dying, suffering, he saw his mother there. And he's provided for his mother. He turned to John and said, "Your mother." To his mother said, "Your son." And John took Mary to his house. What love. You remember in John chapter 11? He was denied, persecuted by the Jewish world. He went across the River Jordan and stayed there. Then the news came to him. Lazarus was sick. The Bible says he loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. And the word used, love, is not filial, it's agape. That is, he loved them with the love of God. Absolutely. Now Martha, Mary, Lazarus, love the Lord. But the word used is filial. They have friendship with Christ. They feel good about Christ. And with the two sisters, they felt that as long as they send the message to Christ, no doubt Christ would rush over, lay his hand upon Lazarus, and bring him back to life. What did our Lord Jesus say? He heard the news. He stayed two more days back. He waited until Lazarus was dead. What a disappointment. What kind of a Lord he is. Lord, you don't love us. You neglect us completely. Ignore us. No. He went over. Lazarus was already in the tomb for 4 days. He wept. But he brought Lazarus to life. He said, "I'm the resurrection and the life." Brothers and sisters, our Lord is emotional, but under perfect control of God. Not a hint of himself, the best of himself. Isn't that easy for the Lord? He is human, as well as divine. His humanity must suffer greatly. Because it is human for us to rush over and solve the case. How about Peter? I think of all the disciples of our Lord Jesus, the 12 disciples, Peter is the most emotional disciple. Impetuous, brave, outspoken, fearless. That's his temperament. He's an emotional person. When the Lord said he was going to Jerusalem and he will be dead, but on the third day he will rise again, Peter said, "Others may fail. I will not. I will follow thee to death." He meant it. But when a little maid questioned him, he trembled. He denied the Lord three times. There's the man, Peter. But thank God, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, the enemy tried to get you. You will be in a sieve. That is, only that which is of God will remain in you. What is not of God will all drop out. I have prayed for you. After you have recovered, strengthen your brethren. When you are young, you go your way. But when you're old, people will lead you away. He speaks of the death of Peter. What a change. He is the one who wrote 1 Peter. And as you read 1 Peter, the whole book is on the salvation of the soul. How can our soul be saved? That we really come under the shepherd and overseer of our soul, the Lord Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is a process we have to go through. If you try to avoid it, neglect it, you neglect so great a salvation. Is to your own hurt. But if we are willing to lose our soul life, take up our cross and follow him, we save our soul life to eternity. Brother Watchman Nee after he was saved. He was saved in 1920. By 1922, there was already a group of believers, mostly young, meeting together. And they went out to preach the gospel. He was still a college student. And he told us one day, he was going to speak somewhere. So he searched for a scripture as the topic of his sermon. He came to Psalm 73, verse 25. The psalmist said, whom do I have in heaven but thee? Whom do I desire on earth but thee? He wanted to use that as his sermon. But to be honest, he felt he cannot say this. He may be able to say, whom do I have in heaven but thee? That's easy. But he cannot say, whom do I desire after except thee? Because he was in love with a girl. They have been together for 10 years already. Grew up together. And they are meant for each other. After he was saved, he tried to bring this girl to Christ. But he was able to talk with her for anything, any matter, except Christ. She wouldn't listen. So he struggled over that. But he went ahead and preached it anyway. You know, many preachers are doing that. Preaching against their conscience. But after some time, he was going to speak again. And this verse came again to him. Now he told the Lord, "Will you not change your mind? Don't ask for it." And the Lord will not. Then he began to promise the Lord, "If you allow me to do this, I will go to Tibet to preach the gospel." But the Lord refused to negotiate. He spoke in the morning again. But in the afternoon, he came to his room. And he prayed, "Lord, fill me with your love." I'm willing to give up. And he said, "The Lord just filled his heart with love." As his farewell to the world, he changed his dress, took some gospel posters, went to the street, and paved them on the posts as his farewell to the world. He wrote a poem. Now we have that in 663. Unfortunately, this is another translation. I think it's better in poems, but it's not as simple as the old translation. I know how to sing the old translation. But I don't know this new tune. The world is really behind him. Christ is all to him. Brothers and sisters, this is not something special for special people. No. Every true believer will and must have gone through this. Our love, our hate, our feeling, our emotion needs to be sanctified. Unless it is Christ that is in charge of our feeling. We can abuse our emotion. So, brothers and sisters, the only way to deliver our emotion, not to make us emotionless, without natural affection. Doesn't the Bible say, honor your father and your mother? This is the fifth commandment, the only commandment with a promise. This is not only in the Old Testament, this is repeated in the New Testament by our Lord himself. And by the apostles, We shall honor our father and mother. But why is it here? The Lord said, if you love your father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. Why? It is not because he wants to be the first. It is because he wants to purify, save our soul. Do you want to have your emotions saved? Are you listening to the still more voice of the Holy Spirit? When you are in conflict over this matter of emotion, where do you turn? You turn to yourself to make you feel comfortable, great. Or you turn to the Lord and suffer for it. Thank God. Such suffering we labor at. Because he is the preserver of all believers. May God have mercy upon us. Dear Lord, these are hard words, but thy word are pure. We pray that thou wilt purify our soul, our emotion, with thy living word. Deliver us, our emotion, from self. Managed, but put our emotion under the new management of Christ, that thou mayest be glorified. We ask in thy name.